Greetings. Today I'm back in Lisbon, Portugal. I had a great week in Mijas, Spain with the G42 students. They were all very eager to experience God and for Him to use them in delivering life-giving words and expressions towards one another. I taught and activated prophetic ministry through the week. The life of God happened. On Friday, I went to Lousã, Portugal, and had an awesome time with Pastor Luiz Miguez and CCBA Church there. I was also blessed to meet with another CCBA congregation in Carregal do Sol on Saturday night. We experienced a life-giving Father as God allowed us to enter into ministry concerning God as a giver, and we as His children created in His likeness and image in the earth to be givers of life to our world. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This is not a new covenant truth, but a truth throughout the ages. God has always owned everything. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil didn't create a problem for God in heaven. It created a problem for us receiving the blessings of God upon the earth. Sin didn't prevent God from seeing us for who we really are. He has always seen mankind as His children, but sin made it impossible for us to see God for who He is. We could not see Him as a loving, life-giving Father that He truly is. We found ourselves bound to a mindset of takers and not a mindset of givers of life to the world. God became one of us in our world so that we could see who He is in His world, and thus our world could be changed. God is a life giver, and when we see Him for who He really is, we become changed. We become givers of life to our world. God has determined harvest for each of us. He has set appointed boundaries and measures for each of us. The earth is meant to honor us so that we can honor God. When we honor God, the earth in turn is liberated to honor us. It yields its fruit to us and becomes a blessing by which we can honor God and honor our fellow man, the likeness and the image of God of the earth. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with man's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. God has set laws in creation that are meant to serve us. They are given to serve us in living as givers of life with the life-giving ways of God written on our hearts and minds. We were not to be under laws. They were given to us to fulfill the mandate of God in our lives. Gravity is a law that is written about in books, but what is written did not cause gravity to exist. There's a law of sowing and reaping, and whatever we sow, we will reap. This law doesn't exist because of what is written in books. It is written in the fabric and with the fabric of creation. There is a law of harvest that is even higher than the law of sowing and reaping. What is seen to be the end must be the determining factor for what is sown. The times of harvest are not determined merely by what is going on in the earth. Things as they are in heaven determine the beginning and the end of seasons in the earth. There is a law of density. There is a law of aerodynamics. There are many practical and spiritual laws that we cannot see, but we can discover them. When they are discovered, surely books can be written in regard to their existence. We cannot break laws. We can only violate them, and then they break us. We can violate the law of gravity by jumping off a tall building, and the power of gravity will break us, unless we find a higher law, such as aerodynamics. Jesus freed us from being under the law of the perfect knowledge of good and evil by superseding it with a higher law of love. That higher law of love is written on our hearts and minds, so our character, nature, way, power, and authority empower us to cast a shadow that looks like the lesser Torah law that merely reveals an informational knowledge of good and evil. Law doesn't exist because it is a book. A book exists because there is law. Jesus confirmed this when He spoke to the Pharisees. Luke 11, verse 42, "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Jesus did not say that humans were not to respond to God with the substance of the earth. Tithing is responding to God who gives us bread and wine with some measure of what we possess. We do this because we recognize that all that we are given is a gift from God in heaven, and only God who is in heaven can empower us to become who we should be in the earth. Even the Pharisees tithed on the least, but the greater measure should have been one of sowing, responding, and living with justice and love. We should not neglect even the least, but it is not our practical giving that is the true testimony. It is not the action of tithing, but the heart-inspired reason for tithing that is the true testimony of a proper response to God. It is also the internal change of our hearts and minds that empowers our giving in all things. We should exceed the Pharisees in our righteousness. Our giving should be inspired by justice and love, but it should even be seen in our response to God in practical ways, even in the smallest of things. This includes the substance of our lives that comes by our investment of our time and our efforts in fulfilling our practical realities in this world. Blessings, Ted J. Hansen.